doing that for the kids. And it's more, it's funny because we're talking about, you know, what we're going to do today. And, you know, we're going to be out on the harbor, and so we're talking about this idea of Independence Day, you know, and having this celebration, right? And I love the 4th of July. I like the, you know, the parades and the flags and turn around and watch the fireworks. I talked to Mark and he said the selectmen have to decide whether or not they're going to go forward tonight with the fireworks. I really hope they go through because I love fireworks. But I'm not normal, if you guys haven't figured that out yet. You're visiting. You can't say anything. But when we turn around, I like the ones, I call them the boomers. I like the ones that just flash and just make that noise that just goes right through you. You know, that's the usually one that makes the dogs bark and the children cry. But those are the ones I just, you know, maybe because you guys know I like thunderstorms. And so I like listening to the thunder. So I don't know what it is. What's wrong with me? I just like that percussion. I just like that. So I look forward to all that. And over the years, they've gotten less of those. You know, they're getting all these little fancy ones. Like, and I'm like, no, you gotta, you know, boom. You know, make sure you're awake. But we're trying to turn around and celebrate this 4th of July. And, you know, we're wrapping up this pandemic. And excited to see here in the state of Maine, the state of emergency has moved off. Right now, things feel so much normal. I think the last time I looked in Waldo County, we were down to like 3 cases in Waldo County. And it's like, So we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to celebrate. We do have great freedom in this country. I don't know if you've been watching the news. Pray for our brothers and sisters, Christians around the world, because there's great persecution going on in China, in the Middle East. I would say even Canada at this point, churches are locked and fences are being put up and pastors are being arrested just to our neighbors to the north. And they're able to do that because they don't have the Constitution like we have. And so even some of these governors, I believe, who have overstepped their authorities with the church, I'm thankful the courts have seemed to knock all those down because our Constitution is pretty clear. We have a freedom of religion. For how long, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen going forward. And we talk a lot about freedom today, and I want to look at really true freedom that we can have. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And Jesus has been talking and discussing and he's been working through and talking about who he is. And he's been coming sort of head to head with the Pharisees, with the religious leaders. Because in here, you know, it's one thing when Jesus was his teacher, but now Jesus has been saying that he is God. He's been talking about that he's going to die and rise again. You see this in chapter 7 and chapter 8. And he's been coming head to head with these Pharisees. And in here, he told them, look, you don't know what I'm talking about because you're not of my Father. You're not of God. And the Pharisees were like, well, you know how religious we are. Oh, we're so spiritual. And Jesus says, no, there's a difference between knowing God and having a relationship with God. Isn't there? You know, I was talking in the prayer time that we have a nation that is getting further away. It used to be a time when everyone went to church somewhere, where some people, you know, believed God and believed his word. And I think the latest statistics I saw that even within Christians, these are people who declare to be Christians, something like it's only like 38% who believe that the Bible is God's word. And we wonder why our nation is in the mess that it is. That Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the one who restores marriages. He heals homes. That God provides. He frees from sin. We're going to talk about this idea of true freedom that's found in Jesus Christ. So Jesus has been talking with the religious leaders and kind of banging heads with them. And he comes down to this part in chapter 8 of John. He says, Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." You know, over the past couple of years, truth has been under attack. What is truth? Right? I always kind of cringe because you'll hear people say, "Well, you have your truth and I have my truth." That's hogwash. There's one truth. Either it's true or it's not. Right? And just because I want something to be true, it doesn't happen. Right? Appreciate Val coming and singing, and I appreciate those that have the talents and gifts that can do that. I really want to sing well. I want to self-identify as a singer. And you know what the problem with that is? There are people who hear. There are hearers. Right? I can self-delusion all day long, and I can wish and want to be a singer. But the truth is, the hearers look at me and say, "No." I remember years and years ago, because, you know, being a pastor and being in front and singing, and I feel bad for those who had the headphones to listen because they hear me really loud. And so my heart goes out to you guys that are stuck with me in your head. And so years ago, I asked my wife, I said, "Will you help me sing? What's the secret? You know, it can't be that hard." And you know, so my wife was like, "Okay." So we were trying to make some notes, and she goes, well, go a little higher." So I was like, "I'm going a little higher." She goes, "Oh, no." She goes, "Well, go a little lower." I go a little lower. And she's like, "Just stop." Right? It isn't going to happen, right? I can want it. I can declare it. I can believe it. But that does not make things true. And we see this logic being thrown out today. And Jesus is very clear as he starts talking about this. He goes, "The truth will make you free." To know what the truth is. To be able to stand upon the truth. To hang on to the truth no matter what. The truth will set you free. It's interesting because Jesus starts bringing this around. He says, if you abide in my what? Word, you will be my disciple. Folks, we have the scriptures. You know, a lot of people want to throw it out and say, well, maybe it contains God's word. You know, parts of it are true, parts of it are good, but you can't believe the whole thing. Folks, I believe this is the word of God. Do you? What it says is true. What it defines things is true. It is the truth. If I disagree with it, I found this a lot lately. I'm talking with people with various issues. And people will say, well, what's your opinion? I'll say, well, the Bible says. And they'll say, no. I want to know what you believe. And I said, no, this is what the Bible says. And so what they want to try to do is take a wedge and divide me from the word of God. Can I tell you something? It doesn't matter what my opinion is. Because God's word is true. Right? I was having a conversation with someone. So what happens if you disagree with the Bible? Then I need to change. It is truth. And Jesus turns around and says, if you abide in my word, you will be my disciples indeed. Folks, let me be clear. You cannot separate Jesus from the word. And we hear people do this all the time, right? They'll say, I love Jesus, but I don't like what he says. Well, guess what? You don't like Jesus. Actually, it goes even further than that because the Bible talks Jesus as the word. John, the book of John starts off, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Right? And it doesn't matter, you know, I don't know about you, but my Bible has, in the Gospels, pretty red letters. And he said, oh, those are the words of Jesus. And he said, oh, those are really what Jesus is. No, those are words he said here on earth. But you know what? Jesus is just as real in the Old Testament. The Bible says that the whole Old Testament talks about Jesus. We can't understand the Old Testament without knowing Jesus. That throughout the Gospels, all Paul's teachings and Peter's and John's, all those things all talk about Jesus. This is his word. This is what Jesus is. And you cannot separate one from the other. You cannot say, I love Jesus and not like his word. Or abide. Actually, what he says is, if you abide in my word, look, you're my disciple. You're my follower. And when we give our lives to Christ, we don't know it all. You know, I've been saved now for a long time. Closing in on close to 50 years. Ooh, that sounds old. And I don't know it all. I've studied, I've read, I'm still learning. I'm understanding more. And as I go through, God changes me. His Spirit reveals more things to me. I'm still changing. But a disciple follows along. As I learn, I stay close. As I follow along, I follow him. A disciple doesn't say, I don't like that, and I'm going to bail. And Jesus says, look, if you abide in my word, you will be my disciple. And the truth shall set you free. Folks, to love Jesus is to love his word. Because it is truth. And that's where freedom comes from. You know, not to be chained to this world and with the popular opinion and to fall in with Twitter tweets and to fall in all the pressures of this world. Jesus is truth, and I want to stand upon the truth. And because of that, there is a freedom in that. Earlier on in the book of John, Jesus was teaching. And he started teaching some very difficult things. You know what? The Bible's full of some difficult things, isn't it? There are things that kind of make me scratch my head. You know, we're going to be going into the book of Revelation on Sunday nights. There are some things in there that's hard to understand. Right? There are sometimes, as we read these things, as the pastor, I'm going to tell you, you know what? I'm not sure what this means. I don't know. Right? Because I'll be truthful. There are things that I don't quite understand. But I'm learning. There are things that are hard. There are things that step on my toes. There are things that force me to change, confront my sin in my life or my attitudes in my life. And it wants me to change. And it's like, I don't like that. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be toad stepped on. It's like, ooh, ow, ooh, that, ugh. But it's truth. There are things that it teaches that are going against the social agendas of this world. And it's hard to stand. Because we're labeled as haters, we're as old-fashioned, we're labeled as ignorant, we're labeled as all these other things because I stand upon the word of God. And sometimes it's hard. And Jesus was teaching some hard things. And this is what Jesus was told his disciples. It says, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And then Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this. He said to them, does this offend you? Right? Does the word of God offend you? And he goes on and says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? And Simon Peter announced to him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Folks, a true disciple of Jesus Christ will follow him. And they'll change because of who he is. And I love this. He said, where else are we going to go? Right? Where else am I going to find the words of truth? I'm not going to find it in the world because it changes every day. Right? You know, I almost think they need to come up with a manual every day to kind of line up with what the latest social thing is. Right? Because it keeps changing. What's acceptable, what's not. Health. Right? Because I think oatmeal is good for you. And I think coffee is good for you still, right? I lost track because it was bad for you. And it's good for you. So I haven't changed. Right? It all changes. The definitions change. But God's word doesn't change. And when we become difficult, there's going to be a time, the Bible says, that there's going to be a great falling away. There are people who are going to walk away from the faith because it's hard. I don't like that anymore. I mean, and I think we're living in a day and age where a lot of people are leaving the faith. But the truth shall set you free. See, we need to realize that, I think it's the old Bob Dylan song, you got to serve somebody. Everybody serves somebody. Right? I was just watching a video where a gentleman was turning around and denouncing his faith. He goes, I used to be a Christian. I'm not anymore. He goes, oh, and I feel so free because I can do whatever I want. I don't feel shame anymore. I can do whatever I want. Let me tell you something. What he's done is changed the bondage to a righteous God, right? Being a bondservant, following Jesus Christ, to turn around and just being chained to sin. The Bible's clear that sin is a slave master. It's interesting because when Jesus was telling the Pharisees, he says, look, the truth shall set you free. They answered him and says, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say he will be made free? Right? So the Pharisees are like, we're no enslaved. Right? I like this. He says, we are Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage. Well, you don't know your Old Testament because they spent 400 years in Egypt. Then in here, they spend 60, 70 years in bondage with Babylon. That here, they were under bondage of Rome, and yet they have the audacity to say, oh, we're free. No one's got a hold on us. And they didn't realize that bondage that they were in, that sin had a hold on them. See, sin entered into the picture in Genesis. And you know the story of Cain and Abel. The Bible says it came time to bring the sacrifices, and Abel brought what God wanted, and Cain brought what he wanted to give God. And God told him, says, wait a minute, if you will bring me my sacrifice, what I want, if you come to me on my terms, I will accept you. And Cain says, no, God, I want to accept you to set me on my terms. And I think that's where we are as a society. People want to say, God, I want to come to you on my terms. God, I want you to change. I don't want to change. And we see this in Genesis chapter 4. And God tells Cain, he says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. He goes, look, sin is at the door, and it wants to control you. It wants to put you into slavery. That's what sin does. You know, it kind of lures you in. It kind of says, hey, this is kind of fun. I think some people get sort of a thrill out of that rebellion. It says, oh, look at me, and I'm rebelling against, and look how, woohoo, right? Folks, it is a trap. It is a bondage. Folks, if you're not under the authority of Jesus Christ, you're under the bondage of sin. And freedom comes in Christ. True freedom comes from Christ. Free from the shame, free from the reproach. It's interesting because, you know, Cindy was picking the songs for this morning. And then Valerie was in town, so I was like, oh, will you sing? And she texted me, and she goes, really, the only kind of song I have is My Chains Are Gone. It's like, that's perfect. That goes, I love when the Holy Spirit works. Right? It brings all these things together. My chains are gone. And there's freedom from the bondage of sin. I don't have to obey sin anymore with its shame and reproach and the damage it does. Freedom's in Christ. And so here's a dialogue between the Pharisees and Jesus, right? Jesus says, look, if you're the disciples, you'll do what I tell you to do, right? You'll abide in my words, and that truth will set you free. And Jesus has been talking about, he was the Christ. He's going to die. If we believe those truths, you know, it breaks my heart out. You turn around and have conversations today, and there was someone who's really struggling, and I shared Jesus with them. And you're like, you know what? I don't want Jesus. I want my problems to go away, but I don't want Jesus. I'm like, folks, that's a fool's errand. You got to be freed from your sin. You got to be freed from this world. And the answer is in Jesus Christ. And so Jesus doubles down, right? So the Pharisees are like, well, we've never been in bondage. Oh, we're free, right? No one tells us what to do. And Jesus turns around and says this. Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits a sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And Jesus says, don't you realize the sin that you do is a trap? It entraps you. It clouds your mind. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is what? Death. That's the result of sin. But there's freedom in Jesus Christ. And Jesus points to him and he says, look, if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. Paul picks up the theme in the book of Romans chapter 6. It is knowing this, that your old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. It's what we did this morning for communion. That reminder, it's he paid the debt to free us. It's through his blood, that sacrifice, that that debt is paid, and now sin no longer has a hold on us. And we are free. And not the works of righteousness that I have done. It's an old hymn. And a line from the hymn, it says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Lord, right? Long to leave the one I love. Right? I love you, Lord, but I have a tendency to wander. Right? I get kind of itchy. I don't sit well. I feel bad for my family because we went out and saw the parade in Searsport, which is fantastic, by the way. It was like almost 40 minutes long. It was great to see everyone. You know, we cooped up for so long. I think everyone was so excited to get out. I did get one piece of candy. The kid was really little, and he didn't put up much of a fight, so I got it. But that's not true. I got to be careful. He was about that tall, so. But to sit there and watch the parade go by and to celebrate and all those things. And the family, so we got there a little early, and I was standing there. And I don't just stand there well. And so I'm getting itchy, and I'm like, honey, can I go talk to someone? I can get a drink, I can run down. And she's like, just stay put. It's going to start. And I'm like, right? You know how it is. You guys know how I am. I get itchy. I get, right? Out of this whole platform. You know the carpet that isn't worn? It's the one right in front of the pulpit because I'm over here. Yeah. I clocked myself. I put a couple miles on up here. Right? I don't know about you. I just don't. You know, we saw Tim Sample and we got there a little early sitting down. I'm like, I just can't. I'm like, I look back, and I was really disappointed. I was hoping there was a concession stand, because I was like, honey, can I go get some water? I'm a five-year-old. Can I get some water? And there was nothing there, you know? So I was like, oh. So I was like, my wife's like, just stay. Stay. Good boy. Good boy. Stay. And I'm like, right? And sometimes my faith is that way. Right, God, you are so good to me. You love me. You give me your blessings. You're faithful when I'm not. And my heart sometimes wanders. And I drift from what I should be doing. I'm glad my salvation isn't up to me to hang on. He hangs on to me. Because I would run back. And the devil knows that. He tempts us with sin. Right? He's like, oh, come on. Remember the good times? Oh, remember, look, and my heart will be like, ooh, pretty. Right? folks, we got to remain in that freedom. And that sounds crazy for someone who's been freed, who's liberated, and they find that freedom. You know, I kind of cringe today because sort of a movement, especially among some of the ones who are younger, is towards this socialism of giving up freedom for the sake of security and freedom, or for security and safety. Willing to give up that freedom. And it's funny, you get on YouTube, and I love listening to some of these pastors are from communist countries. And they come from where there's places of true communism and the struggle there. And they're kind of like, you guys are nuts. Why would you want, right? They've been free from that. We don't want to go back to that. We came here because of the freedom, right? And folks, as Christians, we got to stay in the freedom that we have in Christ and not go back into this world. And Peter tells us and warns us that there's going to be false teachers who come up and try to lure us back into bondage, back into sin. We see this today, that messages from all around the pulpit is to go along with the world. To accept sin as okay. And Peter warns 2,000 years ago, he says, and they promised them freedom. Right? Oh, you don't have to obey the scriptures. Oh, you'll be free. You know, why do you want to be held down by that gospel? Why do you want to be limited by the old-fashioned religion? Oh, there's a great way. Oh, come on. Reminds me from the scene of Pinocchio when they're trying to get him out with the fairground. And he turns into the... Never mind. All right. He said he promised them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whoever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. And folks, we have so many people who are giving up the freedom we have in Christ to fall into the bondage of the sin that's around us. Of the addictions and the pleasures that chain us. Paul tells the Galatians this. He says, and then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those by nature which were gods, were not gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire to be in bondage? Paul tells the Galatians here, he says, look, Christ has freed you from the shame and reproach of sin, from the penalty of sin. Why in the world do you want to go back? Why do you want to go back? Most of you guys probably know, we have a little Shih Tzu, little dog, and he's a brat. I just be truthful, we're dealing truth here, right? We had a golden retriever. I don't know if you ever had a golden retriever. Wonderful dog. The only problem is they shed. We would sweep up a small Pomeranian every day. I mean, the fur just came off the. But great dogs, and that, you know, that dog wanted to please you. Right? And if we corrected her, you know, oh, that's bad. Oh, I'm so sorry. Right? You'd be like, oh, I'll never do it again. I mean, it's the easiest dog to train. I mean, it just wanted to please you. And so after 15 years, the dog passed away. And we didn't want to deal with all the hair again. So we decided, well, we'll go with a smaller dog. So we got this little Shih Tzu. And Shih Tzu is not a golden. Our dog looks at us like, yeah. Right? He's like, oh, don't you want to make us happy? He's like, no. And he's sneaky. I mean, there, right? I will be in the yard. I'll be, okay, bring him over here. Say, okay, you stay over here. And he'll walk and he'll go around things to hide and get to where he's not supposed to go. He just, you know, I was like, oh, look at me, he's gone. Right? But here's the worst part of it. I feel like I'm venting. This is good therapy. Thank you. But here's the worst part of it. He's white. And he doesn't know it. Because, you know, you clean them all up, get the stink off them, and the first time he's outside, he's like, oh, here's mud. And he goes in there and finds the nastiest thing and rolls in it. And you're like, what are you doing? He looks up like, yeah. You know, it's like, but I love the little fur ball, right? But he just rebels. And he goes back into the mud. And it's like, well, dude, right? He is a dude. It's just me and him. We're the only, right? His name's Thor because I wanted a big, mighty dog. In my male ego, it helps, all right? He got a little beard on him. My daughter wants to put bows in his hair, and I refuse. No, you can do that, because he's a man, dog. Anyways, right? But he grows into the mud, and he gets stinky all over again. Christian, we're often that way. God has taken us, and he has cleansed us, and purified us, and declared us his own, and yet we want to go back into the sin in which he freed us from. Christian, why would you do that? And Paul asked the Galatians there. Look, why do you want to go back? Why go back? And Jesus declares, look, if you are in the Son, you are free indeed. Most assuredly, I say, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever. Right? There's going to be a separation. The Bible talks about the day's going to come and he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Those who stood with him, those who were truly his disciples, who followed his word, and then go back. He goes, but a son abides forever. And folks, we are the children of God. If you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are his child. He has gone to prepare a place for you, that where he is, there we may be also. He has opened our eyes that we can see truth. We have the Holy Spirit in our lives to convict us of sin, to show us the right way to go. We have his word, which is a path, a light into our path, to lead us and guide us and direct us. We have all these things, Christian, at our disposal. Why in the world do we go back to the world and the bondage that's there? Because if the Son has made you free, you are free indeed. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray as Christians, Lord, we will rise up and stand firm on your word and who you are. We will be your disciples, Lord, to follow you no matter where you go. Lord, there are some parts of your word that's hard, that's not popular, that demands a change in us. And Lord, may we change. May we be transformed by the renewing of our mind to be more like you. Lord, keep us from going back to sin. Lord, keep our eyes open to the traps of Satan that would lure us in. And Lord, help us keep our eyes upon you. Because Lord, when we are in you, we are free indeed. We thank you, Lord, for all of this. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus.